We serve an awesome God. Amen. The heavens are declaring His glory. Amen. Amen. This morning our sermon is entitled, His Father's Discipline. In our world, education is highly prized, as well it should be, yet there is a vast neglect of wisdom. Somehow, people and governments have come to think either that knowledge and wisdom are synonymous, or that wisdom simply follows knowledge, or that wisdom is an inherent quality, or that wisdom is of no importance, none of which are true. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom." It is amazing the great effort and expense parents and governments will expend to educate their children while ignoring wisdom, which is essential to the right and moral application of knowledge. To make the most of one's education and moreover their life, the wisdom of God is paramount. Wisdom is needed before the accumulation of facts, for wisdom teaches us how to think about, understand, and apply the facts properly. It is by being enlightened to the wisdom of God that education actually comes to its pinnacle. Sadly, in this fallen world, foolishness comes naturally, and so it is necessary that God instruct us in His supernatural wisdom to train us in righteousness so that it will go well with us, and that, of course, for His glory. Since God is the creator and the designer and the giver of life, it is His wisdom, then, that is needed if we are to live in the abundance of life for which He created us. Introduction on your handout. God, in His profound wisdom and great love, has so concerned Himself with our fallen and desperate need for wisdom that through His Holy Spirit, He breathed out these divine words to Solomon that we would have this life-changing, life-directing book of wisdom. Church, if we will apply what is written here, it will change our life and give us direction in our life that we will go in the path of godliness. Letter A. With profound insight and by faith in Christ, let us seize upon this God-given opportunity to learn of the vast contrast between the way of righteousness and the way of wickedness, between the blessings of godliness and the ruin of foolishness, and then with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, let us immediately begin to apply the wisdom of God to the living of our lives. Church, the goal is not for us to go and think about these things. Think about it and apply it. Get busy about it. Amen? Don't decide, well, I'll do this next year. Or I'll do this a year from now. Or I'll do this when I graduate. Or when I'm old, I'll get it right. By that time, you will have made your life a mess. Amen? In this, in applying the wisdom of God to the living of our lives, in this we will worship and exalt our Lord and Savior, Jesus. He is the Christ. And all the church said, amen. Roman numeral 1, Solomon contrasts wisdom and its blessings with foolishness and its curses. Before us, as Pastor Sean read today, lay blessings and curses. Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Did you hear that, church? A wise son accepts his father's discipline. He doesn't go about judging it. He goes about accepting it. He doesn't go about thinking, should I obey or shouldn't I obey, but he obeys. Amen? That's what a wise son does. So here's a test. If one wants to know if they are wise and they truly desire a true answer, then they can ask themselves this question. Do I accept my father's discipline? That's a mark of wisdom. So the answer to that question will answer the first, am I wise? Your father of love disciplines you for your good. The wise one accepts their father's discipline while the scoffer does not listen to rebuke. The scoffer in stubborn pride hates to hear when he has done something wrong and resents correction because he's stubborn, he's foolish, and he doesn't care whether he does right or wrong. He thinks he's right in going his own way. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one going his own way. The fool wants to go his own way, and don't try to corral him or correct him. As we learned last week, that fool, he's like an unreasoning animal. My father used to tell of his teenage friend who had a bull that was bullheaded, stubborn. Every evening, it was his friend's chore to make sure the bull went from the field to the pen, and every evening, the bull resisted and even threatened him with false charges. Night after night, the young man tried to corral the beast by shouting and waving his hands, but one night, after some time of unsuccessful aggravation, he picked up a very large rock, and in anger, he threw it at the bull as hard as he could. The rock landed right between the bull's eye, no pun intended, and the bull fell over with a thud. The young man, thinking he had killed the beast, went in to tell his dad, only to come back out with his father and to find the bull standing, and he was fine. But from then on, every time the young man wanted the bull to go to the pen, all he had to do was reach over like he was going to get a rock, and the bull would abruptly turn and dart to the pen. Well, true story or not, I don't know, but the point was made. Learn the easy way or the hard, it's up to you. That is, this is for your good, take father's advice or take a hit. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, for he knows it's for his good, while the bullheaded scoffer is bound to learn his lesson from someone who doesn't love him. Listen, if you will not accept father's discipline, then you only make it harder on yourself. And have you forgotten the first commandment with promise? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is righteous. It is God-glorifying. It is worship for children to obey their parents. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Well, let's also apply this then to our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Are you a child of the living God? Then be wise and receive the discipline of your Father in heaven. It was of love that he, through Christ, adopted us into his household. And it is of love then that he disciplines us. Look, he didn't bring us in and wash us up and bring us into his household and share his name with us to mistreat us, but to bring us along, to bless us. Amen? Let us be wise and honor him by accepting God's discipline, by doing what he says, receiving the correction that comes from his hand. We have his discipline before us in these words. Will we do what he says? Will we obey? Why be stubborn and bullheaded when Father comes in love and mercy? I know firsthand, it can be very difficult sometimes to see how his discipline is for our best, and we look at the Word of God and try to rationalize his commandments and his warnings and his rebukes and his corrections, saying, well, that doesn't apply to me because my circumstance is special. I know. We wonder, how can this be for our best? But church, thanks be to God that he knows all, even the end from the beginning. And who knows what he prevents and saves us from as he directs us through discipline. It's for our good. Amen? Letter A. The wise son wisely receives his father's discipline. Let us be wise toward God and humbly accept the discipline of his hand, for in it we will find blessings of life. Verses 2 and 3. From the fruit of a man's mouth he enjoys good, but the desire of the treacherous is violence. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Many wars have been waged and lives lost over a few ill-spoken words. Marriages have ended, and churches split over a war of words. What ruin comes to a man who will not control his tongue. As the treacherous desire violence, so do they bring violence upon their own head as they open their mouths saying what is in their wicked heart rather than engaging their brain. But the one who wisely lives in the righteousness of Jesus Christ enjoys the good fruit of their lips, for from a heart of righteousness comes words of righteousness. The wise know how to guard their words, for they guard their hearts. They speak that which is for the other's edification and therefore the glory of God. They choose their words carefully, thinking of what they should communicate and how it will affect the hearer. And who would bring violence upon such a one? For by his words he heals, putting violence away. Thus his life is preserved, being saved from the dangers that a fool brings on himself by the words he speaks. In our men's Bible study this Friday morning, we were considering James and how he says that the tongue is like a fire. Starts a great raging fire, just a little spark. Amen? Who can tame the tongue? We tame beasts, all manner of animal, but the tongue, oh, it's a real beast. Amen? How many troubles, we begin to say, how many troubles have we brought upon ourselves by saying a word too much? A word untimely spoken, a word in haste and out of anger. And how many troubles then would we save ourselves, and how much more pleasant our life if we speak only what is pleasing to God, being silent when silence is called for, and only speaking what is good and right. Here's what we want to do. We want to say, God, bless me with your blessings, when he says, here's how to be blessed. We want God to drop blessings out of the sky, which in fact he does. But here he says, this is how you live a blessed life. So it takes our application. We must give ourselves to the Word of God in obedience, following him, obeying him. And then, through his Word, by his blessings, we'll experience the goodness of life. Letter B. Ruin belongs to the treacherous talker, while life belongs to the one who speaks godly words of wisdom. Oh, that we would season our words. Amen. Verse 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. The lazy sluggard wants and desires, even with great envy, but they get what they earn, nothing. In contrast, there are the diligent who God causes to prosper accordingly. They're made fat, they're blessed of God. In our world, people want something for nothing. But when you do nothing, you get nothing in God's kingdom. He requires our activity, our participation, our obedience to his word, and then he blesses. So let her see. Hard work pays. Laziness does not. You don't like that? Well, this is God's rule. He set it in motion. There it is. That's the way it is. Hard work pays. Laziness does not. Verses 5 and 6. A righteous man hates falsehood, but a wicked man acts disgustingly and shamefully. Righteousness guards the one whose way is blameless, but wickedness subverts the sinner. We can know if we are of the righteousness of Christ, for those who are righteous hate falsehood. Do you hate falsehood? Of course, the one who is pure in heart hates falsehood. They hate lies. They hate deception, misdirection, dishonesty, for such flows from impurity. For them, they are holy and blameless in the sight of God, being found in Christ, and the righteousness of God guards them, guiding them, protecting them as a shield about them. Church, we need Jesus. Amen? Now, as we look at that line, but a wicked man acts disgustingly and shamefully, there is a more literal translation that is not favored by our translators. And one of the things that's happened over the years is that some of the scripture is very blunt. Some people would say crude. And some of the translators over the years have tried to soften that. And that's not to our advantage. We need to hear it as it was meant. A more literal translation of that 5B line is, but a wicked man stinks, or makes himself a stench, or as Darby has it, makes himself odious and thus comes to shame, being abhorrent and disgraceful, a stink to others and a stench to God. A wicked man acts disgustingly and shamefully. The wicked desires of the wicked man's heart subverts him, leading him astray, sabotaging him, bringing him to shame among the people, and then to a shameful end, an end he never thought of. Think of the evil men who were once followed, but came to be hated so much that their own henchmen sought to take their life. One's evil ways are odious. And while one might bathe so as not to stink outwardly, yet will the awful stench of their sin reach the nostrils of God. Better to stink from an outward filth that can be washed away than from an inner rot. If you examine yourself and you find that the fruit of your life is foul, because the root of your life is foul, then turn to Christ and be washed of your shame. He will forgive you. He will wash away your sins. He will cause old things to pass away and all things to become new. Does your life stink? Turn it over to Christ, and he will make it sweet and savory. Letter D. The righteous hate falsehood and thus are blameless in their way, while the wicked are a stench to all and moreover to God. Verse 7. There is one who pretends to be rich but has nothing. Another pretends to be poor but has great wealth. This is one of the verses where translations and opinions about what it means can vary wildly. So I'm trying to do my best. You might want to study it. Well, no, you not that you might. You should study it on your own. Wisdom teaches us not to go on appearances, for appearances are what appear to be rather than what is. As we said before and we'll say again, God looks on the heart. Let us receive the wisdom of God and do what God does, knowing that it isn't one's advertising that establishes the truth of who they are. It is their heart, their way, the way they live, the way they speak. If one believes all advertising, they live in a world of deception. Learn this: the wise examine the heart. And beloved, they examine their own heart first. Verse 8. The ransom of a man's life is his riches, but the poor hears no rebuke. Another verse that's difficult and various in the translation. One possible meaning is that a man of riches, depends upon his riches. And the fear of the loss of his riches holds him captive, or ransom. Well, the poor man has nothing to pay, so no one threatens him. His money doesn't hold him ransom. He fears he's going to lose it. He doesn't have it to lose. And in that way, he hears no rebuke. He hears no threat. Another possible meaning is, and kind of goes with the latter, as many commentators have it, this refers to kidnapping, expressing that a rich man can be kidnapped and held for ransom. And though he can pay the ransom, it was his riches that placed him in danger. Remember years ago, I can't remember how many years ago, but there was a lottery, and some guy in, I think, Virginia or West Virginia, won $300 million. All my daughters were at home back in that day. And they said, "Dad, what would you do if you won $300 million? And I said, "I would fear for my children's life." Riches can be a source of trouble. So though the rich man, if he's kidnapped or his family is kidnapped, he might be able to pay the ransom, it was the riches that placed he and his family in danger. While no one would kidnap a poor man, he has nothing to pay. There is no threat to him. As Tremper Longman puts it, in the final analysis, wealth is not really the protection it purports to be. Instead, wealth may put the soul who possesses it in danger. We need to view wealth rightly. I think this can be summed up by James chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. But let the brother of humble circumstances glory in his high position, and let the rich man glory in his humiliation. Let us be wise and consider the true value of wealth, considering it properly. Verse 9, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked goes out. The light, the life, and the eyes of the righteous are filled with rejoicing, for the righteous understand the way and the purpose of God as he works in all things for their good. They've come to Christ and know that all is well with their soul no matter what happens here, for they live forever. But the lamp, the light, and the eyes of the wicked are dull and about to be extinguished as they refute God by refusing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. In their foolish denial, their life will come to an end only to face the judgment and to be cast into outer darkness. Letter E. There is a light for the righteous and darkness for the wicked. See the light. Choose Christ and live. Verse 10. Through presumption comes nothing but strife, but with those who receive counsel is wisdom. Those who of their own high estimation of themselves presume to know everything, always knowing what is best, they are sure, offend others. They bring strife. Their arrogance brings strife. But the wise accept counsel and have wisdom, and so comes peace. Beloved, once again I say, examine your life. Do you, because of your thoughts regarding yourself, and the words that flow, and the way that comes from you, do you have strife constantly swirling and boiling around you? Check then to see if you are a presumptuous soul who presumes yourself to be right and everybody else wrong, failing to accept the corrective counsel of others. Pride drives presumption. Humble yourself and receive godly counsel, and wisdom will be with you. Letter F. Put away pride with its strife-inducing presumption, and come into the peace of counsel wisely received. Verse 11. Wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. Wealth that has been obtained dishonestly is simply not going to last. As we obtain wealth aside from wisdom, so will we spend it unwisely. Those who obtain wealth wisely handle it wisely. Those who are unwise in obtaining their wealth spend it unwisely. And how many in get rich quick schemes, such as gambling, have gained and squandered a fortune? Again, I remember many years ago watching a series of specials, documentaries regarding Las Vegas. And they were talking about this guy that had won the largest jackpot on the one-armed bandit. He had won over $300,000, which I understand is nothing nowadays compared to what people can win, but $300,000. And the man interviewing the casino owner said something, said, well, I bet you hate it when they win that and take that money out. And he says, oh, no, we love it. He said, we get tons of free advertising for it. When something like that is paid out, we get an influx of people. And besides that, it's proven that within 3 years, we'll have that money back from that person. It's no loss to us. He didn't say that, but I'm paraphrasing. It's no loss to us. It's gain. Beloved, get rich quick schemes may bring some money to you quickly, but easy come, easy go. But the one who gains his wealth through means of honest work learns the value of saving money, and through committed labor, he wisely increases his wealth. How many of you want God to bless you to increase your wealth? Amen? Sure, we do. Amen? All right. Well, here's how you do it. See, we want God, just drop it in my lap, Lord. And God says, no, this is the way to true and sure wealth. And by the way, as you go this way, the way of wisdom, you will become wise and you will be the better person. I know many who in their life had very little but we're diligent. And understanding the value of earnest labor and appreciating the money they earned, that they earned, and continuing to work hard, they amassed a small fortune over the years. Learn this. If you will earn your way through life rather than looking for ease and a get-rich-quick scheme, then you will hang on to your wealth, increasing it. Letter G. Give yourself to the will of God and work. And God will increase your wealth through wisdom. Verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. When one anticipates something and it is delayed, it will bring on disappointment, frustration, a loss of hope, and even depression. And so for all who hope in anything or anyone other than Christ, for them all is unfulfilled disappointment. But when a desire is met, it is like a fruitful tree of life that brings joy and happiness. And so with God and his wisdom, all his promises are yes and amen. And everlasting life belongs to all who hope in him. They will never be disappointed. Trust in God. He will not let you down. Verses 13 through 15. The one who despises the word will be in debt to it. But the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn aside from the snares of death. Good understanding produces favor, but the way of the treacherous is hard. And taking this back to the first proverb of this chapter, it is clear that the son who despises his father's instruction will give an account. Not only is he foolish, but he's going to pay the price. Having been instructed in the truth, he cannot plead ignorance. Full responsibility lay upon his shoulder, and God will hold him to it. Amen. To the one whom much is given, much is required. Know this, as wisdom comes from God, so are the teachings of the wise a fountain of life. Do you want to live a life full of life? A life full of fulfilled hopes and expectations, then turn aside from the snares of death by receiving God and his wisdom. Here, church, here. Here you go. Here is true instruction for true living. Turn from the snares of death to Christ, the living word, and live. Good understanding produces favor. Understand this. If you will come to Christ, then you will be under the favor of God, the Almighty Father. Why would you choose any other way? For it is the way of the transgressor that is hard. Oh, Christians often complain about how hard it is to be a Christian. Let me tell you something. That doesn't compare to the way and the end of the transgressor. The way of the sinner is hard. Amen? Letter H. Despise God's words of wisdom, and you will give an account. Receive his wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will receive the reward of life, here and now, here and forever. Verse 16. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. Will our actions give us away? A man is known to be prudent as he wisely acts according to the true knowledge of God, while the fool by his actions reveals himself to be who he is, godless. Harry Ironside wrote, "It is part of ordinary prudence to lay to heart what we have been considering." As we read the Proverbs, it is prudent to lay it to heart, to take it to heart, to do what it says. Fools alone will refuse it, amen, and thereby manifest their folly, amen. Alas, that so large a number of those who as to this world are wise should be fools as to the next. And yet after all, true wisdom for the life that is now is manifested by subjection to Christ and dealing with the knowledge his word imparts. Letter I, the wise and the fool are known by their actions. Will you be wise and act according to the true knowledge of Christ, or a fool who acts according to his own folly? Verse 17. A wicked messenger falls into adversity, but a faithful envoy brings healing. Now think of this statement as recorded by King Solomon. He knew the problems associated with wicked messengers and the blessings associated with faithful envoys. Choose wisely whom you employ, for they hold adversity and healing in their hand. And on the other side, be a good employee who brings healing rather than adversity for their employer. What advantage is it to you as an employee to bring harm to your employer? Verse 18, poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. The wicked one who neglects discipline, whether it be self-discipline or the discipline from a superior, and who as a result neglects adversity, then brings adversity to an employer, they, by their own moral failure, will face the poverty and shame of unemployment. And so with the son who refuses his father's discipline, poverty and shame will be his. But those who wisely heed discipline, they will be rewarded with honor. Letter J. For the son who regards reproof in his moral excellence, which of course is found in Christ, God will honor him with many blessings. It will go well with him as he lives on the earth and even better in heaven. Amen. Verse 19. Desire realized is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. The wise and foolish alike have desires, but the righteous desire the things of God, and they are sweetly satisfied in him, even to the depth of their soul, even when they face adversity. But the fool never realizes any measure of true satisfaction, especially in God, for all they want is evil, and they have determined never to depart from it. They love evil, and they will taste the fruit of it. As one old saint said, nothing doth so fool a man as extreme passion for sin. This doth make him a fool and shows him to be a fool. As the fool desires to gratify his sin-filled longings through means of wickedness, all his flesh does is cry out for more. Sin is insatiable, never satisfied. Letter K. The righteous will be satisfied, the wicked, never. Verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Would you be wise? Then associate yourself with those who are wise. That's not hard to understand. Get in a Bible study with godly men and women. Would you be wise? Learn from the learned. Walk with the wise. Find those who live a life of moral excellence and walk with them. Be their disciple. And beloved, their example will influence you. Reach higher, not lower. Oh, choose your associations wisely, for if you join yourself to a fool, you will suffer harm by mere association. Plus, they will influence you and you'll become a fool yourself. Don't you know that bad company corrupts good morals? That's the scripture. Don't let your friendships just happen, but choose wisely. Pick your friends. And beloved, better to have no close friend than an immoral friend. Better to be lonely than surrounded by a gang of hooligans. You know what a hooligan is? It's in the Greek. You look it up. All right. Letter L. John Knox wrote, "Fool he ends that fool befriends." And we add, "Wise he ends that wise befriends." Won't you befriend God? Oh, beloved, if God, your Father, will be dearest to your soul, then you'll choose your friends wisely. verses 21 and 22. Adversity pursues sinners, but the righteous will be rewarded with prosperity. A good man leaves an inheritance to its children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Adversity pursues sinners. Think of that. Wow. Look at the sinner and know that adversity is chasing him down. Adversity pursues sinners. Sinners crave but are never satisfied. The sinner's presumption brings strife. The sinner's wealth diminishes. The sinner's deferred hope makes their heart sick. Sinners despise the word and are indebted to it. Sinners come to poverty and shame. Hear this, adversity pursues sinners and they can never outrun it. The way of the transgressor is hard, but the righteous will be rewarded by God himself with prosperity, given the ways and the means to pass on an inheritance to their children. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. I'm so proud of the families in our church having babies. In that, we see the glory of God. Amen. The righteous man, understanding God, that God granted his children to them to be blessings, leaves an inheritance for them. And that for his children's children. The righteous storehouse of the wise man is full and overflowing. Quit thinking only in terms of money. As it is said of old, that the sins of the father visit the third and fourth generations. Listen to this. It's also said of old that the righteousness will visit 1,000 generations. To be so wise as to pass righteousness on as an inheritance is then to leave an inheritance that will endure and bless much more than mere money and what money can buy. Righteousness leads to life here and forever. Above all things, church, leave the children faith in Christ. They need Jesus, amen? But the sinner, all his wealth consists of is money. That's all he's got. And if he has any, and he leaves it to a foolish son, it will be squandered. Sooner or later, it will go to the righteous, for the meek shall inherit the earth. Letter M. Will you leave a worthy inheritance of righteousness for your children and your children's children? Or will your riches be stored for others and your children left only with adversity pursuing them, just as it pursued wicked you? Serve God and bless the generations to come, or serve self and set adversity before those who follow you. Verse 23. Abundant food is in the fallow ground of the poor, but it is swept away by injustice. Again, the translation is difficult, but this verse seems to condemn wickedness along with its near relative, laziness. J. Adams expresses, even a poor man's fallow land has the potential of producing much food, but the potential is never realized because of his injustice, which has been expressed in various acts that lead to poverty rather than wealth. Shedding more light, Derek Kidner writes, the point of this very terse proverb seems to be that the size of your resources matter less than the judgment with which you handle them. We've known people with money who live hand to mouth. We know people with very little resources that have saved and live in contentment. Employing what God has granted you, employing it wisely, will lead to sufficient food, while failing to employ his gifts with wisdom, employing what he has granted you unjustly, will lead to your resources being swept away. You can't hang on to them. Think of the parable of the talents as found in Matthew 25, and you will understand. Letter N. God supplied each one with the means of making a sufficient living, but the one who has poor judgment and fails to employ his God-given talents will lose what he has. Poor judgment leads to poverty. Verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Well, as Solomon wrote, it is apparent that he was writing to correct his son. And what human son is there who doesn't need correction? It's a fact. We all need it. Amen? He was writing to correct his son and to give him wisdom and impart wisdom. And here he makes it plain that it was of love and not hate that he wrote and gave this discipline. Yet this is universally true. Those parents who do not discipline their children in a quick and effective way actually, by omission, demonstrate hatred toward them. The parent who says that they love their child too much to discipline them with the rod of authority absolutely deludes himself. Such a one thinks himself to be what he is not. And in refusing this wise counsel, he proves himself foolish and full of hatred, first and foremost foolish toward God, showing hatred to the child who God gave him as a heavenly inheritance. But what an awful inheritance such an unloving parent leaves their child. That child is left to live the life of an undisciplined fool. Parents, love your children and discipline them. Letter O. Just as a wise son receives his father's discipline, so does a wise father lovingly measure out the discipline of wisdom, so a son will live, and having life, live unto God abundantly and eternally. And verse 25. The righteous has enough to satisfy his appetite, but the stomach of the wicked is in want. Letter P. God satisfies the righteous with contentment, while in love and mercy to show them the need of a Savior, he leaves the wicked in want. See, we want to think God's cruel. Why does God do that to people? Well, he does that to show them they need a Savior. Amen? That's of love. His discipline is of love, whether for the son or for the wicked. His discipline is of love to say, hey, you need a Savior. Wake up. You can't do this yourself. Better to be wise and content with little than to be foolish and with much wealth never know contentment. Let God be your satisfaction. Be satisfied in Christ Jesus, the Savior. And so finally then, let us learn from this 13th chapter of Proverbs to receive Father's loving words. Let us be wise and learn that wisdom receives instruction, not merely hearing, but also acting upon it. And for those who do not know God as their Father, hear these wonderful words of wisdom. Referring to Jesus Christ, John 1, 9 through 13 says, there was the true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But, glorious adversative, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will be your very real and personal Father. Receive his word of wisdom now. Have faith in Jesus. Will you believe? Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our Father, we thank you for your love toward us. How great is your love! Immeasurable. Your love is beyond what the eye can see, beyond what the greatest scale can weigh, There is no ruler that can measure your love, O God, but you have demonstrated it in the giving of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for your great love toward us. No greater sacrifice could be made on your part than that you would purchase our salvation through the blood of your only begotten Son. Blessed Father are you. Lord, you need not convince us of your love. You need not do one more thing to convince us of your love. You have done it. May we be convinced today. May we know you as our Father, and may we accept these grand words of discipline, applying them to our life that we might live disciplined lives, godly lives. And Lord, in that you might be glorified in us, and as a result, Lord, that we would live blessed lives, full of blessings that money could never buy. How good you are, our Father, that you save us. What a great favor to us in the giving of your Son. And yet, you willingly, through wisdom, tell us how to receive blessing upon blessing. Now, Lord, may we humbly submit to you and do all that your word says. Also, Lord, we think of those who have not come to know you. May it be today that they come to have faith in Christ Jesus, and that coming to Christ, they come to a right relationship with you, that by receiving the Son, they receive the Father. And having been filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord, the Spirit bears witness that they are children of God. And if children, Lord, then let us walk as children. Lord, may it be today that today is the day of salvation and that all would come to believe. Grant it, Lord, and be glorified. This is our earnest prayer. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.